This is Brian Kaplowitz, and you're listening to the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. This is a live show where we interview top experts in the speaking industry and business to provide emerging speakers with marketing strategies and other business building advice. If you're listening live, you can participate in this call online right now by going to speakermatch.com/radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is Brian Kaplowitz, your host, and you are listening to a Speaker Match teleseminar. Our guest today is Rachel Daniel, and today Rachel is going to be talking to us about building audience trust, the winning strategy for successful speakers. Rachel is founder and CEO of Synergy Marketing Strategy and Research, and she is also an expert and scholar in the area of brand strategy and brand trust. Synergy is an award-winning firm specializing in brand strategy, and the firm's clients include Fortune 500 corporations, several mid-sized firms, nonprofits, government entities, and universities. Well, Rachel, it's nice to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me today, Brian. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. This is a topic that I don't think we've had before, a little bit different from some other things that we've talked about. Building audience trust is, again, the topic. And tell us a little bit about your, you know, how you got into this area, your trust research, your dissertation. There's a lot that goes into this.
Yes, there absolutely is. And first, just want to say thanks to everyone that's listening today. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll try to make sure that we have lots of content for you. I'm going to ask that everyone make sure they have a pen and paper and that they are prepared to write down a lot of the strategies that and tactics that we're going to provide for you. But I'm also going to provide you, Brian, a copy of the presentation. I've set it up so that there's some takeaways for our audience today. So that's a gift from you and I to our audience. So hopefully they'll enjoy it.
Well, we do have a web page for the replay and for show notes, downloads, things like that. You can access that at speakermatch.com/radio. And we are recording this live, so that replay will be available, like I said, for it will be available instantly on the web for replay, and you can download that also. We're using a new service. I've mentioned it before, but if people are looking for a conference line service, we use myconferenceline.com, and I highly recommend it. It's got a lot of great features, especially if you're looking to do a teleseminar yourself. Anyway,
wonderful.
Rachel, let's get back to you and your trust research. Let's talk
about
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as you can imagine, it is definitely a passion of mine. Certainly anything you dedicate the years and years that it takes to get a doctoral degree in a subject, you've got to be passionate about it and be able to really sink your teeth into it and sort of live the literature. My favorite aspect of thinking about trust is being able to provide tools to my clients in building stakeholder trust and trust amongst the organizations that I serve and their customers, their employees, and their stakeholders overall. You asked a great question, which is how did I get into this this subject at all? Since I was a very little young girl, I wanted to become a psychiatrist. This notion of helping people figure out who they are and who their what their strengths are, and when they have problems to really help them deal with them, has been something that I've wanted to do all of my life. So this idea of digging around in people's heads sort of permeates my life's work, wanting to know why people do what they do and sort of what are those motivations. So through college, as I studied psychology and pre-med, I came out and said, oh, I don't want to go to school for another 12 years. You know, what can I do to really serve? And wound up accidentally, certainly by chance, in a marketing position. And I found this love of creating brands and understanding how to connect customers to those brands. So I was able to do both, utilize my interest in research and really sort of understanding why people do what they do, but also being able to feed that sort of creative side of myself that wanted to, to explore the marketing aspects and communications. So that's kind of my background. Well, how did I wind up in this area called trust? You know, what does all of that have to do with trust? Well, at the end of the day, everything. As speakers, as coaches, as entrepreneurs, no one's going to buy our business if we're not trusted. Everyone's going to buy from us, or our clients are going to return to us if they trust us. So at the end of the day, when I walked into Case Western Reserve to get my doctoral degree to figure out how to better brands and how to create stronger loyalty, after 2 years of studying the science behind loyalty, I found that the foundation for these relationships, every relationship, whether they be personal or professional, is trust. And so that's sort of where my research is right now. Interestingly enough, Brian, we are having this conversation right in the middle of my collecting data. So this week, this very week, Monday, my dissertation study went out, and I am very pleased to say and blessed to say that we have over 1,400 responses from right here in Northeast Ohio on this very subject of trust. So
wow.
Very exciting.
So. So you mentioned relationships, building relationships. Is it important for a speaker to be concerned with relationships? Well, I should say with relationships with their audience.
Oh, absolutely. There are two areas that speakers must be concerned with. The first is their relationships with their customers. Let's sort of talk about that first, because you have to have a customer before you have an audience, right? So this notion of understanding what meeting planners and others who actually do the hiring of speakers really want. They've got to trust in the fact that you're going to deliver quality and that you're going to show up on time, that you're going to be honest and passionate, and you're really going to deliver value. So all of those things are important, first for the customers that you have and the clients that you have to please. Now let's talk about the audiences, and that's what the subject is today. How do you build trust with an audience? So I'd like to, if you don't mind, Brian, really kind of go through the agenda that we're going to have today, if you don't mind. That way that ground soaks into – I'm sorry, there was a little bit of feedback. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. So first we'll talk about a little bit about the business case for trust and why it's so important. A few of the heroes that I mentioned in the introduction, Oprah, Tony Robbins, and Jack Welch, and kind of why I hone in on them as brand trust heroes. Then we'll talk about the five pillars of trust and why they're so important to building audience trust. And one of the takeaways that I really love about the value you provide to your audiences, Brian, is that you try to get speakers and interviewees that provide real tactical, practical takeaways. So I'm going to provide 10 marketing tactics to building a successful speaker practice and or refreshing an existing or established speaker practice. I'm going to tell you what the elements of a trusted speaker are, and then the bonus is turning mistrust into trust. Sometimes we start with a blank slate, and no one knows who we are, so we have an opportunity to create that picture. Sometimes there's a little skepticism. People just don't know much about what it is you're selling or what you're talking about, so there's a little bit of mistrust. So we've got four tactics into turning skeptics into believers. So that's kind of the way that we'll talk about trust today. First, I want to really kind of get into this idea of why trust. Why does it even matter that you build trust with your audience? What is trust? It's a word that we throw around a lot, and I certainly didn't have the kind of understanding I have about it after 2 years of kind of, as I mentioned, really reading the literature and understanding what we know about trust today. The three elements of trust are this notion of, first, excellence, intelligence, competence. Everyone needs to know, in order for you to build a trusted brand amongst your audience and your customers, that you are going to deliver excellence, that they're going to get something from you that they can't get it anywhere else. So it's necessary for you to know, and it doesn't matter what your subject is. For me, the subject is trust. It's something that I know inside and out. It's something I'm passionate about. It's something I do my homework on. But whether you're a plumber or an attorney or a professor, a teacher, whatever it is that your subject matter is, you need to be an expert. Continue to do that homework. The second element of trust is integrity, that ethical standard. For me to trust you, Brian, I have to know that you're going to do what you say you're going to do and that you're honest and open, transparent, absolutely critical. And the third element of trust is goodwill, that I believe you're looking out for me, that you have my best interest at heart. Those are the three core elements of trust. Now, I can trust you on one element and not on the other two. In other words, Brian, I absolutely will trust you to find me the right client for my speaking practice. That I know you're wonderful at. I'm not quite sure I trust you to do my taxes, though, Brian. you may very well be capable, but I'm not sure. So we can trust people on one element of trust and not necessarily on the other. We want to make sure in our own practice as speakers that we exude top-of-the-line excellence in what we know. Doesn't have to be across the board, but what we know that we have integrity, each one of us can have that, and that goodwill is exuded in everything we do and say. So I'm not an expert on everything.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm not an expert on everything. I know what I know. Trust is a subject I know. Marketing research is a subject I know. You know, if you ask me anything about football, I'm sorry, you're going to get a very bad answer.
All right. So trust is important for our clients because they're not going to use you. They're not going to bring you in to speak unless they trust that you are honorable and trustworthy. For your audience, why do you need to worry about the trust so much with them? I guess so they believe you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's value from a speaker? Why do we even go and see a speaker? Because we want the content that we believe they're going to deliver, that we want to be inspired, and or we want to learn something new. We want to walk away from that experience with tools that we didn't have before and inspiration that we didn't have before. And so as a speaker, it is absolutely critical that the audience both connect with you from the standpoint that they believe you have their best interest at heart. Listen, if I'm listening to a speaker, and I'm going to use Oprah as an example because she's just a person that connects with millions and millions of people around the world because we trust her. We trust her. So when I'm listening to Oprah, I believe that she actually has my best interest at heart and that she feels the same way about the rest of her audience. It's absolutely critical. If I didn't feel that way, and if your audiences don't feel that way, you won't be able to make that emotional connection. And there's science behind that. I don't want to get into the bio and neurological science behind it. But when there is trust, there are in order to make it simple, we are open. We're open to hear what the speaker has to say. And so building that trust is absolutely critical. From the competence side, remember I mentioned there's excellence, competence, that whole idea that you know what you're talking about. Again, this notion that I'm going to walk away with value is absolutely critical. If I don't believe you know what you're talking about or that the tools or tips or stories that you're telling me are relevant to my life and are actually going to provide value, then I feel like I'm missing something.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, Did you cover the three elements?
Yes, there are three elements of trust, and actually my book is priceless, The Five Pillars of Trust. But there are three elements of trust, three sort of concepts that make up trust. The first, as I mentioned, is excellence, competence, intelligence, that notion that quality is going to be there with your audiences. So that's the first element, excellence. The second element is integrity, ethical standards, honesty. Those are, you know, sort of the core elements of trust. That's number two. So you have excellence, you have integrity is number two, and number three is goodwill, benevolence, that I believe you have my best interest at heart when you're speaking to me. So those are the three core elements of trust. The pillars of trust, there are two more, is value. The fourth pillar, the first three being the three elements of trust, the fourth pillar is value. Value is this notion that the exchange, whatever I've given you, whether it's money, you know, I go into a store and I give, you know, $5 for an item and I leave with that item, or it's resources, I'm giving my resources, my time. Value is that notion that the exchange, whatever I've given you, that I'm getting something back that's worth more, at least as much, if not more, than what I've given. So we want to make sure that we're providing value to our audiences and that they feel like they've left the room with more than they expected. The fifth pillar of trust, and I don't want to confuse folks with elements and pillars here, so there are five pillars of trust, three elements that make up trust. The fifth pillar of trust is responsiveness. You know, it's wonderful if you do what you say you're going to do. You've got the excellence covered. I know you've got my best interest at heart. You've provided value. But if at the end of the day I call you and you don't call me back for 6 months, that's going to really affect your business and your ability to grow. As a matter of fact, I was speaking to a really wonderful internationally known speaker, Dolores Presley, who's a very, very dear friend of mine, and talking to her about this notion of responsiveness. And she mentioned that it's a challenge for her. It's something that she continues to work through in her own speaker practice. And, you know, again, this is someone who commands a very high dollar for her speaking. And she mentioned that she had been, I won't mention the other individual's name, but it's a very, very well-known, internationally known, huge brand in the speaking. He's a huge author. And she wasn't responsive enough to this individual and ended up losing a really lucrative deal. So again, these five pillars of trust are absolutely critical. They can make your business, but they can also break your business if you don't follow them. So it's absolutely critical that you first are always looking at excellence. Second, that you have integrity. Third, definitely have your audience's and your client's best interest at heart. Fourth, that you provide value at every turn. Make sure that the exchange, whatever it is, the time, the energy, the resources that your audiences and your clients have given to be there, that they feel like they are getting something back. I always try to make sure they feel like they're getting even more back than they expected. And the last is that you're responsive. My friend Dolores mentioned to me, you know what? I don't miss a call ever. If someone calls me, I'm calling back within 24 hours. You better believe it. I learned my lesson. So responsiveness is that fifth pillar of trust.
Okay, let's move on to the next list you had. I think you said there were 10 things on the next list, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Lists and lists and lists. Let's see here. 10 tactics. That's right. We wanted to provide 10 tools, marketing tools, to building a trusted brand. The wonderful thing about today's, although the economy may be a little, we're experiencing some downturn in the economy, we've certainly got some tools that we didn't have in the past to get around that. One of them is social networking, which is a very, very inexpensive way to build a trusted brand. So those of you who are not using social media and trying to build a speaker's practice, it's absolutely critical that you start to build a brand online. And again, it's inexpensive to do. So you have, obviously, your LinkedIn page. Absolutely necessary that you put who you are there, that they can see you, and actually come away with kind of understanding what value you're going to provide. Definitely, you know, connect with your family and friends on Facebook, but also create a fan page so that you can connect with folks who don't necessarily know you personally but may want to find out more about your business. And Twitter is also a great tool. Of course, you're not going to build a speaker's practice in 140 characters or less, but you can certainly let folks know who you are, what you've got to offer. I actually use Twitter to provide trust tips. So you know, when as I'm reading the literature or helping a client, I kind of think about what tips can I provide in 140 characters or less that help people build a trusted brand.
Now, when you're sharing information on these social networks, I think that it's probably important to include some personal information to establish trust. That's my gut feeling is to say the more you share about yourself, the more people tend to trust you. If it's all business, then I feel like you're trying to sell me something.
Oh, Brian, you really hit the nail on the head there. That is absolutely true. I think one of the things that I've sort of omitted and really need to say is that the foundation of all of the five pillars of trust has got to be authenticity. You've got to be genuine. You know, doesn't matter how good you are or how you're telling the truth. If I don't feel like it's coming from your heart, you know, people know it. It's not something that you can measure quantitatively. They just kind of feel it. So this idea that you've brought up about being yourself and being open, actually be a person. You know what? If you made a mistake, say that too. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, of course, you know, no one cares that I had a bagel for breakfast. I think that level of personal, you know, isn't necessary. But the fact that I have, you know, a warm and caring husband who made me a latte, well, that, you know what, that really allows people to know, well, wow, she's appreciative. She's an appreciative person. She's a caring person. She notices when people do stuff for her. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. When she provides a trust tip, perhaps I'll listen to her a little better because I know that about her and her family. Yeah, so absolutely. Let people know who you are. Great comment. The second is to make sure that you're building and maintaining media relationships. Now, you've had lots of media pros on. You've got Annie, who I just think is absolutely fabulous. She has so much energy, and I just love her to death. So she's sort of the media pro. I'm certainly not going to step on her toes and others who do that for a living. But it doesn't take a lot of money to kind of build those relationships by keeping in touch with producers and editors and those in the news business who may be interested in your area of expertise. Again, it doesn't cost you anything to just say, hey, here's what I'm working on. I thought it was interesting. And maybe it'll be interesting to your readers. You know, again, building a speaker's practice requires building a brand. You are a brand, just like Coke and Nike and everyone else. And so you need to make sure that you're strengthening that brand and that people are getting, you know, hearing about you from a number of multimedia sources, just like you have. You've built a wonderful business by utilizing these tools. Another real tactic that I think people need to incorporate in their strategies and marketing strategies for their speakers business is making sure that they have co-branding with some sort of established brand. Now, that could be either another speaker, could be someone in a complementary business, and or it could be a corporation who's sponsoring you or supports the work that you're doing. One of the the things that we try to do in our business is to make sure that folks know that, hey, we serve Microsoft and we serve some of the largest brands in the world with our marketing research. It's a great way of having that sort of third-party trust built. So it's not so much that I trust myself and that, you know, that I trust my business. It's that these other entities trust them as well. So you want to make sure that folks know who you're associating with in building your business. Creating and maintain. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a question?
No, that was, I'm just trying to keep track of where we are. So that's number three.
We're at number three. Am I talking too fast?
No, that's great. I'm just trying to keep up, so I'm taking notes also.
Good, wonderful. The fourth thing that we want to do is make sure, again, this notion of building an online presence is absolutely critical. So we talked about the social media tools, and that's wonderful, but a notion of having a blog, which is very different than microblogging or communicating socially with your friends and colleagues, as well as different than LinkedIn, which is a business platform that people use to communicate. A blog is a communication, and for our business, we use it to communicate about ethics and about trust and about marketing research. It's what we do. It's what we know. And we believe we have something to say that's really going to be important to our clients and our potential clients. So as a speaker, it's certainly obviously very important that you have a website. Again, many of your guests have mentioned it doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to communicate who you are and the value that you have to provide. A blog is a little bit different. It provides articles or moments in time, content in time that is relevant for right now. So you want to keep it up to date. You want to make sure that you're, and frankly, I'm not following my own advice because I'm in the middle of a dissertation, but you want to keep it as relevant and up to the minute as possible on your particular topic. Do you guys have a brand, a blog at Speaker Match?
We do not, no.
Well, see, Brian, I'm talking to you.
Paul in my office keeps telling me that we need to have one. So,
I think that Paul's absolutely right, Brian, because you have so much to say. You've collected tremendous content. You help so many people out there, and people want to know what's going on with you. I promise, they really do want to know. I know you're thinking, nah, no one cares. No, we really do. We really do. So that's
absolutely. No, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's not that I don't think they care. It's that I think, am I really going to have time to put together a blog?
Yeah. You bring up a very good point, and it's difficult. It takes a lot of time. Some of the posts that I've written and articles that I've written sometimes have to, you know, come between reading two articles and writing stuff for school and running two businesses, and it's 2:00 in the morning. My husband's telling me, stop, you know, what are you doing? Keeping up with the blog. But you want to try to stay connected to those audiences. It's absolutely critical. Now, you have a very content-rich website, so, you know, I'm going to let you slide a little bit here, Brian, because
we do have a feed. We have a lead feed.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Kind of like that, but no, it's not the same. I know.
But you guys have a content rich website, so again, I think I can let you slide a little bit. I'll nudge you, I think, in a month or two and find out how you're moving in that direction. So it really is a time consuming endeavor. Keep your posts short. You don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. Find out if there's content. There's a tool that we use called Google Alert, and you can find out if what news there is about your subject, and just kind of put a note about it. Say, hey, here's something really interesting that I was reading or that I found out about. That's about, you know, plumbing, or, you know, that's about whatever the subject is. For me, obviously, it's trust, it's ethics and leadership, it's marketing research. That's the product that we provide to our clients and marketing strategy. So when those subjects come up and others have written about it, it's a great way to expose your colleagues out there in the world who are doing what you're doing. And it's also a way to keep your own clients up to date with what's going on with your subject matter. Again, just another way to reinforce that idea of excellence, quality, and competence and intelligence. So about your subject matter. Another way to keep in touch with folks is a newsletter. Very, very different than a blog. Doesn't take a lot, to keep it up every single day or every week. You can even have a newsletter biannually or quarterly. It doesn't have to happen all the time. But you want to, again, keep people in the know with what's going on with you. Tell them, again, those three third-party endorsements. Tell them about what clients you're serving recently. Tell them about what wonderful speeches you've just had. Or you can always highlight someone else, which is a great tool, again, to give back that whole benevolence piece of your life or trust-building exercise. But it also is a way for you to say, here's what's interesting in the subject matter that I'm an expert in. Creating strategic partnerships. This is one that I'm not sure we as speakers do as well as we should. We talk about it. We all talk a good game. But this notion, and Fripp brought it up in her exercise, I actually speak about it myself, this notion, and write about it on my blog as well, this notion of collaborating, finding whoever your, quote, competition, unquote, would be, and creating those partnerships. It's so much easier for me, Brian, to talk about how great you are and how great Speaker Match is and what a wonderful service you guys provide sometimes than it is for me to talk about, to be a shameless promoter of myself. And so.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, it's always easier for somebody to brag about somebody else. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're great at doing that, which I think is a wonderful thing. It shows that benevolence and goodwill. But you also want to have that other side of it so that other person can do the same for you. So creating those collaborations is absolutely key. As a matter of fact, one of the businesses I mentioned, running two businesses, the other business, not really running, it is a partnership, an LLC called Trust LLC. We actually came together, a group of marketers came together to leverage our strengths. And, you know, one of the reasons was that it's so much easier, again, to brag about, you know, what a great designer Arlene Watson is and what a terrific writer Diane DePiero is. Well, hey, why don't we build a business together and brag about each other? And that way we can all benefit. So that's a wonderful, wonderful tool to grow your own business and to help someone else grow theirs too. The seventh is soliciting audience feedback. Okay, so everyone has these evaluation sheets, right? Everyone does it, quote unquote, so they say.
Most people do.
Mm-hmm. And most people do, yes. And what do you think they do with them? I mean, really do with them. Now I'm a researcher, so
I don't know.
I'm going to be tough. I think that most speakers will read them, and they pay attention to them. They use them as learning tools, and then they kind of put them to the side. For me, evaluations, feedback from your audience, not just the immediate feedback of you know, whether they clapped or cried at the appropriate time or stood up at the appropriate time, that's absolutely wonderful too. That's the way you and your audience communicate with each other and build trust among each other. But after the lights are dim and you're at home alone with your evaluations, that's another way for your audience to communicate with you. And really, really taking the time to listen to what they said can actually grow your business in tremendous ways. You know, sometimes your audience will tell you stories about how something you said to them changed the way they think. Those are great stories for you to share with the next audience. Sometimes they'll tell you, well, you know, you didn't do so well in this area. Hey, you got to pay attention to that. Absolutely critical to solicit feedback from your audiences consistently and often, and it's absolutely critical that you actually pay attention to it. I think we're great about putting the evaluations out there, what we do with them on the back end. And this is something that I think each and every speaker who's listening today should begin to do today, is to go back to the evaluations, any of the ones that you've kept, and say, you know what, let's make two piles, maybe even three, but certainly two. Here's the positive, and here's the negative. I'm going to, you know, read through these positives, you know, has lots of energy, created great content, really moved me, inspired me to change, told a great story that I could connect to, you know, changed my life in one way or another. Those are that's wonderful. And then you have the needs improvement pile. Take the needs improvement pile, take both of the piles, and really go through and say, how do I refresh my business today based on what my audience is telling me? It's just a great exercise. I'm not quite sure where we need to be as a practice with doing that. I think it's absolutely critical. The next.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I feel like I'm taking over. Go ahead, Brian. Talk to me.
No, that's all right. go ahead. You got a big list there. I want to be sure we have time to get through everything.
Yes. The next is to gather competitive intelligence. Again, as a researcher, it's part of my DNA. I believe I need to know, you know, kind of what's going on out there. You want to do the same. If you're a speaker and your topic is whatever it is, you know, for you, as a matter of fact, let's talk about Speaker Match. You know, you want to know what the competitors and what the complementary businesses out there, both in your line of business and in other lines of business, are doing. You want to take those practices and make sure that you're utilizing them in your business. And so I think that's absolutely critical that folks gather that competitive intelligence and use it. And I'm going to connect this back to this notion of creating partnerships. Sometimes you'll find out as you're collecting this competitive intelligence, and you can do it in any number of ways as a speaker. The first thing you're going to do, obviously, is go see other speakers. Pay attention to what's going on. Watch them on YouTube. Find out what are people saying and what's relevant right now. What is really moving audiences and what's kind of driving profits in the speaker's business? Absolutely critical. Another thing that this drives me back to is once you get to know some of these competitors, give them a call and find out if there's a way to partner. Again, once you know more about them, that makes people feel pretty good. Wow, you know, this person's paying attention to me. Maybe there is something that we can do together. Back to this notion of maintaining media relations. It's one thing to keep in touch, and I think that's absolutely critical. It's another thing to actually make news. So you want to try to be doing stuff in your area of expertise, meaning you're either writing relevant content, you are you're serving clients in a way that's meaningful and newsworthy, you are creating speeches, you're changing lives in a meaningful and relevant way that is newsworthy. You want to try to do that on a consistent basis. I say try to do it monthly. Try to create news monthly. And even if it's not going to wind up on CNN, you can certainly put out press releases, and there are free services in which you can do that. And you can certainly put that information on your blog and on your website. And that, back to this notion of partnerships, share that news with individuals that you partner with and let them share it with you. And lastly, solicit testimonials. Those individuals who were kind enough to share with you when you did really well and how you changed their lives and motivated them or provided them with inspiration, provided them with real tools that they could go away with. Another thing that you could do is call them up and say, would you be willing to give a testimonial? Would you be willing to say that and put those words on my website? You can also talk to someone who tells you you need improvement. Ask them to come back next time and see you again. What a great testimonial to say, I've watched this individual grow as a speaker, and they are just absolutely amazing. You know, they've made that growth. So that's a wonderful testimonial as well. None of us is perfect. So that's a great tool So that, those are the 10 tactics, marketing tactics. That's a lot to do. No one can do it all perfectly in a whole lifetime. But these are the kinds of tools that can grow your business, grow a trusted speaker practice for you.
Okay. So now, none of these things are easy for sure, and people are not going to want to give you anything like a testimonial if they don't trust you.
Right.
So that's definitely important. And you know, something that occurred to me while you were talking, and that is that I have seen people put up sites to encourage negative feedback, and that makes me trust them even more. You know, if you put up a website, rachelstinks.com, where people can tell everybody, you know, out in the open, in public, you know, why they think you're not so great. People take that, usually they take it the right way. They will be constructive in their criticism. You'll get your fans really supporting you also in public, which builds trust. So there can be a lot to that also.
Wow, Brian, that, you know, I think I'm going to have to to ask you to be a co-researcher. Yeah, that's, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head when you talk about this notion, and kind of what you're saying is transparency. Be transparent. It's almost like a terrific segue into how to turn mistrust into trust and turning skeptics into believers. That's kind of the first tool of doing that, and that is inviting people to tell you how you can improve and, you know, kind of what's wrong, and then being transparent about it. So it's one thing if I, you know, take you over to the corner and say, Brian, what do I need to fix? Tell me, you know, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And it's another thing if I say, you know, Brian, when we're having our interview, I'd love for you to tell me, you know, share with me how I could have been a more engaging, in fact, Brian, tell me how I could have been a more engaging guest. We'll do it right now.
Be a more engaging guest. Gosh, I don't know. You're pretty engaging. You're sucking me in. So
I kind of set you up for that one. Yeah,
you did set me up. Yeah, you know, if anybody has any comments for Rachel, you can definitely feel free to join in the conversation. Just push *2 to let me know you'd like to come in on the call.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear some constructive criticism.
Absolutely. Keep it constructive, please. But I've got a thick skin. Yeah, tell me, how could I have been more engaging? Absolutely. You know, speaking of this notion of inviting feedback, that's not necessarily always glowing. Frankly,
Rachel, I'm sorry. Before you get to the next one, you have a taker on this. It looks like John is on the line.
I love it. Hi, John.
John, let me bring
Debbie.
Him in. Okay,
sorry.
Go ahead, John.
It's actually Debbie.
Gabby.
It's John and Debbie, but you can call me John if you like.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, and you know what? I came in about 10 minutes late, so I want to write down your name because I've been typing feverishly as you've been talking through this presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Debbie. I appreciate it, and my name is Rachel Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, and you can find me at mytrustexpert.com.
Okay.
And all my contact information is there, so please feel free to contact me. I'm also going to provide Brian with a kind of an overview of our talk today, so hopefully you didn't miss anything. And I'm certainly happy to answer any question you have.
Well, I don't have a criticism. I do have a question. You were speaking about the 10 tactics, and I'm literally typing and taking notes, and I got to number 9 when you said, and the 10th one is, so I missed something. You said going back to media, and that might have been your 9 when you were speaking about keeping yourself relevant in the news on a monthly basis. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. I find that your method of delivery is easy to follow. There is a lot of information, but you've broken it down in almost outline form, so it's great for the audience to follow. But I did want to make sure I didn't miss one of those 10 tactics.
Well, thank you very much for that question, Debbie. You did miss one. That is to solicit testimonials. And that's when Brian brought up this notion of inviting feedback, whether it's positive or negative. So solicit testimonials. Ask for feedback. Ask your audience to tell you where you're doing well. Absolutely. Tell me if, you mentioned that it's easy to follow what I have to say, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that comment. But if you have something that's constructive and isn't so glowing, that's okay too. So that's the 10th.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Rachel, I did cut you off when you were in the middle of something before. And I did not write down where I cut you off. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
But, we do have a couple more people that would like to come in on the line.
Oh,
actually,
sure.
One
sure.
More. Looks like Debbie pushed hers again. Let's bring in one more. Just one second. Okay, go ahead. Caller, this is your caller ID ends in 4403.
Yes, my name is Venu.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Great. I had a question and I have a comment too. Actually, I just got done with the Authentic Voice Conference in Las Vegas with Shore Slocum for over a week.
Oh,
and yes, and we just there was 18 of us that got to learn how to tune into our authentic voice and learn how to be speakers. So listening to you, I also came in about 10 minutes late, but you have a wonderful way of presenting, and it kind of went along exactly with the way Shore had taught us. And I just learned so much more from you, from your 45 minutes of conversation, so it was absolutely wonderful. And thank you for adding more tools to my toolbox. I can't wait to actually get out there and actually start using this myself. I did, however, miss number 3 of your 10 marketing tools to building a brand. So can you go back and tell me what number 3 was? Because I'm also taking notes vigorously.
Oh, my goodness. I hope I didn't talk too fast. Firstly, what is your name, please?
My name is Venu McCarter.
Veneer?
Venu, V-E-E-N-U.
Venu.
Yes.
First, I'd like to say thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. I really do. So thank you very much for your wonderful comments. Number 3 is to build strategic partnerships. Really critical. So I encourage you to go on the website, on Brian's website, and or if he's going to email the presentation to those who have signed up for the 10 tactics, it's really important that you begin to use number 3. So, for example, you just went to this conference and you said there were 18 of you. Perhaps there's one other person there that you connected with very well and very strongly to build some sort of strategic alliance with that individual where you can build on each other's strengths and lift each other up through your weaknesses. So really, really important. I'm glad you asked about number 3.
Thank you. And that conference was wonderful. Matter of fact, I found out about your talk through one of our team members at that conference. She emailed all 18 of us to let us know, Cindy did, about this talk today, actually. So it went out to all 18 of us about this free teleconference. Yeah, so I thank Cindy for this.
Oh, I thank Cindy, too. God bless you, Cindy. Thank you.
Okay. Are you there, Rachel?
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I thought I cut you off by mistake. Okay, so we do have a few more minutes left. You were talking about there was something that I had a question about, turning skeptical people into believers.
Yes, I have. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian.
You had something to say about that before, right?
Yes, I wanted to provide the four tips for turning skeptics into believers. And then really quickly before we leave, I'm going to try and go through slowly because I know I have a tendency, I get very excited about the subject of trust, as you can imagine, and using trust to build a trusted brand and a trusted business we've proven in science that that trusted businesses in the science of marketing and management, which is what I'm getting my doctorate in, that that trust drives loyalty, which obviously drives the bottom line. So although trust is this kind of ethereal topic, it really does drive your bottom line. So I want everyone to kind of keep that in mind. And although we're talking about a quote-unquote feel-good subject here, it's a feel-good subject that literally translates into dollars. So, skeptics into believers. The first you mentioned and brought up, Brian, and I appreciate you doing that, is being transparent, being open. Hey, opening yourself up to sometimes being vulnerable. And the more you make yourself vulnerable, the more people are likely to trust you because they feel that they can be vulnerable too. The second is to give away something of value. Give away something of value. So when you have an audience, for example, who doesn't quite know you or is a little bit skeptical about what it is that you're doing, give them something that they know that they wouldn't have expected at all. So, for example, I'm going to provide, and you can imagine I have zero time with two businesses, a doctoral degree, and a family, but I am going to provide to one person, one of the, let's say, the first 20 people, 2 hours of coaching with myself personally for one of your guests. Now, for me right now, as you can imagine, time is literally a premium. My husband's going to kill me for doing this. For you. I might be calling up, Brian, I'm getting divorced. He's leaving me. But giving away something of value is so very important. I don't think I have a skeptical audience here, but you know what? I feel that your audience members are just wonderful. So happy to hear them. I wish we could have had more exchange. So if you go to www.mytrustexpert.com and go to the contact page, just put a note. Rachel said she'd do this and that she would provide an hour of coaching to one of the first 20 people who called. You don't have to say all of that, but just nudge me. Then we'll choose one and provide that hour. So give away something of value. Third, go above and beyond. So if you have a skeptic, they're usually the ceiling's pretty low. They're not expecting much, unfortunately. So when you're building or rebuilding trust, it's critical that you far exceed those expectations. A friend of mine once said, good just isn't good enough. Good just isn't good enough. And when you're turning skeptics into believers, you've got to go above and beyond whatever they were expecting. So if they expected a so-so speech, they expected your product to be just okay, each and every time you want to blow them away with that wow factor. And the fourth, and this is so very important, it's last, but it certainly isn't least, is to promise to follow up. Promise to follow up. So it's so much more difficult to mistrust someone who has promised to be accountable for their actions at a future point. So if I've promised you something and I know that I now have to be accountable to you later, it's a little bit more difficult for you to distrust me or mistrust my words because we know that we're going to come back to this place again. And I better have delivered on the promises that I've made. So those are four key elements of turning skeptics into believers.
Well, Rachel, we are just about out of time. You've given us a lot of content, and like you mentioned, you're going to be giving us a handout, I believe, and we'll have that posted at speakermatch.com/radio. And we'll get that posted as soon as we have that available. The replay will also be available online at speakermatch.com/radio. And can you remind people one more time, if they'd like to get in touch with you, how they can do that?
Absolutely. I can be found, of course, at www.mytrustexpert.com, and that's my business website. That is the website for Synergy Marketing Strategy and Research, and we do marketing strategy and research for, as you mentioned, Fortune 500 companies. We do everything from focus groups to designing surveys and ethnographic research to delivering strategy, marketing strategy. I can also be found at Trust Branding on Twitter and Trust Branding on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect, and I'd love to connect with each and every one of you.
Well, Rachel, thank you for your time, and I enjoyed our call today.
I enjoyed it very much as well, Brian. I hope you have a wonderful day. I'll make sure that you have this this content available for your audience, and I hope that everyone has an absolutely fabulous day. Just make it a fabulous day. The last thing that I'd like to say is that great speakers never complete their story. They just continue to build on it. They never complete their story. They just continue to build on it. So know that. Have a fabulous day.
And on that note, I'll say goodbye. Thank you again.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the Speaker Match radio series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. You can find more information about Speaker Match at www.speakermatch.com. Our toll-free number, if you prefer to reach us by phone, is 1-866-372-8768. International callers can reach us at area code 512-372-8768. Thank you again for listening, and we wish you the best in your speaking career.